Spideheads, and welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the animated series podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guy that puts the brain in vibranium. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Sweating.
And it's not even the hottest days of the year anymore. That's gone. Now it's just like regular summer days, and you're dying.
My peak temperature is a good, like, overcast 16 degrees on a spring day. That's, like, perfect. It's like, I could wear a jacket, I could not.
This is the most British conversation. We've already, I mean, we've started with talking about the weather. Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, we're going for the
might
safe.
Might be thunderstorms in a minute.
Oh, so exciting. Oh, I must go out and have a
look. Yes, I will go out and have a look. It's my favorite weather.
I know, I like them too, I gotta admit. But we're not here to talk about fucking weather. We're here to talk about fucking Spider-Man. But before we talk about fucking Spider-Man...
Oh, calm, there's children listening to this.
Sorry.
Probably.
No, maybe. Probably not. Anyway, before we talk about Spidey, let's go off and talk about the art life. How's the art life going for you?
Great.
You know what's so funny is since we've been doing these... You know, every so often we haven't been able to stick to a regularly scheduled program. See, clearly I can't speak anymore. It's been so long. I sometimes go back and I'll listen to some. And it's so funny to hear you be like, it's going great, but I'm doing this. And then like a couple of episodes later, you're like, I hate it. And then like a couple more episodes, you're like, it's going great.
That's the cycle of my work. It's like, oh, cool, I get to draw this character. And then I draw that character for like a week. I'm like, well, I fucking hate this character now and I never want to draw him again.
Well, I can't remember what art life we talked about last time when we did the John Semper interviews. But how's it going? What's going on? What can you talk about?
I recently finished drawing Batman Urban Legends issue 19. Which
so you can.
Awesome.
That's right. You can talk about that on the pod now.
I got to draw, you know, my favorite comic book character, fucking Batman.
Yeah.
Well, Joker is, but I mean, hopefully that's coming. Mm-hmm. Fighting Killer Croc in a 22 page story in Batman Urban Legends, because they're kind of like a collection of stuff. I've kind of been working with DC Comics all year because I did the Earth Prime stuff, which was the tie-in to the Flash CW verse show thingy mabobs.
Yeah.
And I talked to DC recently and they're really happy with me and want to keep doing work. But now I'm taking a hop, skip and a jump in a different universe. But I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it. But I will just say...
I think you said this last time. You were like, I don't know. You made a semi-vague reference, but then gave it away more at the end.
Driving that train high on cocaine. Somebody better watch their speed.
And that somebody is maybe something that
is
you get
the titular character of the book I will be working on.
That was good. I like
maybe,
that.
Maybe or maybe not.
I mean, for those that have never heard that song, they're just going to hear that and be like, what's he talking about? High on cocaine? What? And you're like, this is for children?
Well, because I'm writing that book as well, which is awesome, because obviously, as probably listeners know over this, I've been trying to break more in as a writer and move away from the art stuff. And I was so desperate to try and put in a line that was like, watch your speed, or like, I'm cocaine, drought, like, train. But I was like, it does not work anywhere.
No. No, that would be weird. But funny, though. I mean,
maybe you can eat up some cherry Garcia or something like that. I don't know.
That's a good idea. Well, you probably would need permission to use that. No. But yeah, there's options.
Well, I slipped your pizza company in. I hope no one's listening at that company, because usually they're usually like, you can't put any branded stuff in there because we could get sued.
Has that been approved?
Yeah, it's going to print.
Yeah, baby. Woo. Too late now. I really appreciate that. That's awesome to see my pizza company repped on the cover of that.
Penny's Pizza.
Yeah. And also
it will also be in interiors as well.
Is it? Oh shit.
I have so much, I wrote so much pizza into the book. I was hungry when I wrote it. So. and there's also another little Easter egg in the book for you if the script gets approved.
Oh yeah. Can you tell me?
No, ruin the surprise.
Oh, you want, okay, so you want me to notice it. I mean, you sent me that cover and you're like, notice anything, bud?
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, it looks good, bud.
Yeah, no, but I said like, was there like a reflection or something, I thought? Like, I thought it was so...
Oh, yeah, you did some weird deep thing where you're like, yeah. Yes, in his mask, I can see Raphael. I mean, some character posing in a certain way. Fuck.
Yeah. And you're like, no, the pizza box, you dick. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
I've written like 5 times, like Benny's Pizza everywhere.
Yeah. I was so used to like, we play a little game, listeners, where we used to send pictures of my cat, or you send pictures of your dog because your dog's small. And it would be like, spot the animal. It'd be like, where's Wally or where's Waldo? But
super fun animals, game.
It is a fun game. So I was doing the same thing with this. So I completely ignored the big pizza box that said Benny's Pizza. And I was like, I found it. It's a hidden face inside a blade. And you're like, no, that's not even a thing.
No.
Oh, shit. Well, speaking of fun little games, do you want to move on and do a Kingpin and Smythe?
Sure.
You've got another important operation, Smythe. You will do as you are told. My name is Alistair Smythe. It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as the Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change.
All right, this week's Kingpin and Smythe episode has been written in by Paul Thornwood. That sounds like Paul Thornwood.
Born star name?
Yeah, it sounds like, I was going to say, like someone from like Hollywood who's like a big time producer. Like, this movie is produced by Paul Thornwood. It just sounds like that. Or maybe an actor or something. Could be an actor's name as well. I like it.
Thornwood's a good name. I have to write that one down.
You like that?
Thornwood.
Thornwood. I have wood made of thorn. okay, so this scenario written in by Paul says, Kingpin binges all of the Ocean's movies, you know, the ones with Brad Pitt and George Clooney. He binges all of the Ocean's movies in a weekend and decides he wants to pull off a heist of his own. Who's on Fisk's 11 and what are they stealing?
Oh, God. All right.
What a lovely response from you. Oh, God.
Well, bear in mind, I think I've seen one of those movies. And
yeah,
I,
but it was like, you don't need to see the movie.
With the original, like with Dean Martin and shit like that. So.
Yeah, but who cares? You get it. It's a heist shit. Every heist is the same.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Have you fucking seen this? I've never heard of these movies.
What movies, sir?
The Ocean's movies. 11, 12. 13, 14, how many are
this? Is there a one or a two in there, sir? Or do they start with 11?
I thought they start with 11 and they go to Ocean's 12. Isn't that how
they went? They do that. It's really stupid. It's like Star
I think
Wars,
it's kind
but
of
bad.
Cool. No, it's really cool. It's great.
I hear the sarcasm. So, okay, so yes, you've watched these movies. Yes, Brad Pitt is very hot and looks like me. What else?
You wish. If you looked like Brad Pitt, I wouldn't be watching these movies, if you know what I'm saying. You'd be getting the thing live action.
I've gone from Brad Pitt to Brad Sitt.
Oh, no!
Oh, I hate that. I find that funny.
Come on, that was good. That was good.
Anyway, okay. Yeah. I'm, you know, being a crime boss, I've worked to a position, Smythe, where I can just sit back on my big bottom and look at a screen and dictate to other people to go and steal stuff. And I'm getting the 7-year itch or whatever it's called, Smythe. I got to go and crime myself, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to do it by myself, you know. I want like a cool gang with me where we can like do quips to each other. Say, I mean, these movies are dated, right? There's probably racially insensitive jokes in there.
Definitely sexist as well.
Yes. I think I remember seeing clips of people making fun of, is it Jet Li is in that movie or something like that?
Yeah, it is Jet Li, yeah.
Yes. I would know. I just watched the whole franchise.
Yes, sir. It's Jet Li. Yes, sure. One of your favorites.
So we need to find people that we can make fun of. And we need to steal something. So what should we steal?
So let me get this straight, sir. You want to crime it up, but you don't know who you want on the team.
I want to crime it up all over town.
And you don't know what, even what you want to steal.
No, I don't. Maybe we should go steal...
Well, what's like really cool in the Marvel Universe that someone guards or there's like treasure of some kind that...
You we know. Need to go break into the collector's room and nick something.
Yeah, nick something.
How about, sir? I've got it, sir. There is a in the collector's room, there is Prometheum X. And you know how
every time we need something, it's fucking Prometheum X. I think we've done it enough.
Okay, well, it's just, you know, my dream to have Prometheum X one day so I can study it.
Why are you looking away? What's going on?
My dog barked, the doorbell just went off, and a huge crack of thunder went. I know Luna's petrified of storms.
No, I don't have any storm on the horizon here. It must be coming for me.
I'm going to keep my door open just in case Luna gets scared.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay, so you don't want to do Prometheum.
Okay, Prometheum X, fine, never mind. What do you want to do then? So what do you want to steal? Do you want a big ruby? Do you want a gem? Do you want a necklace? Do you want Doctor Doom's helmet? Do you want Captain America's shield? What would you like?
I would like the perfect ham sandwich.
Okay,
but I don't want to pay for it. I want to steal it.
We live in New York, sir. There's like a million of them. And
yes. This is the best skit we've ever done.
We need 9 people to do this, do we, sir?
Yeah.
All right. You know what's funny, though?
<It's> so shit. So bad.
Yeah, but what I love is that it's such an easy heist, but he's going to the biggest lengths to pull it off.
Like, he's like, we need the chameleon. And what the chameleon is going to do, Spice, is he's going to pose as the deli owner. And then he's going to tell everyone to go home. Then we're going to bring in, Electro, and he's going to shock the system so people have to leave and customers have to go out. And he just makes up all of these reasons to put, like, the Sinister Six in there. And a Mysterio would be like creating an illusion where people think the money's in the till, but it's actually not. There could be loads of things you could do with that.
Good job. That's the skit done.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Every time we come back to this, we get worse and worse. I think Kingpin and Smythe scenarios will eventually be like, shall we do this? Nah. Next one. But anyway... If this is your first time joining us, they're much better, usually. All right. Well, it's also, if it is your first time.
The perfect ham sandwich. Mission accomplished. Don't tell them we ordered it from Subway. Eat fresh, mate.
If it is your first time joining us or a returning listener, and we haven't scared you away yet with talking about the weather or a terrible comedy skit, then please visit us on Instagram and Twitter at Spider-Man TAS Pod. We're also on Facebook at STAS Podcast. You'll be able to get up-to-date news, message us your Kingpin and Smythe scenarios there. Also, be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. So wherever you're listening to us right now, up on there, give us a review. I love to read them. It always makes me feel good. And the bad ones, I still like to read them because I'm like, well, you're wrong. So, but thanks for writing in. So, yeah, it really helps us.
A piece of shit. But
yeah, it attracts both new listeners and guests. So it is really, really nice of you to do that if you can. God, I'm rambling. And finally, you can follow Will on his social media pages, see his artwork, stay up to date with what he's working on now, and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist. Will, where can our listeners find
and
you?
And writer.
Oh, fuck. I didn't change the writer bit on that bit. Fuck, I did it in the intro.
How hard I'm working to get...
On my profile, it says writer and artist, actually.
Well, why didn't you...
You know what? I'm not even going to tell people. I'm not even going to tell them.
Why don't you write in and complain?
I will. I'm writing a review right now.
It'd probably be the most read thing you've ever written. Oh!
Wow. Well, this concludes Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast forever.
I was really thinking about being dumb when we did John Semper. I was like, I know we got like a series and a half left, but like that was the best way to go out, right? Like we're done. Thanks, guys. Bye. Where can they find you on social media, motherfucker?
Google me, bitch.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're supposed to say at Robson Inc. INK. And I go, you damn right. And then we move
on. It is. Moving on.
That's the way we've always done it.
This podcast was my suggestion today as well.
We
haven't done it in a while as a podcast. I got like a few hours off. Let's do it.
You've been a right cunt.
I am. I apologize, everybody. Big fat little cunt over here.
Oh, Jesus. Well, to plug me as well, there's another place you can find me, which is how hard I work on that? And I get like 50 views a video. It's painful.
Everybody go to youtube.com/ Chef Alex Robson.
Correct. Thanks for having a question mark on the end of that.
No question mark. Watch my brother painfully try and entertain you for a good 10 minutes. He's going to come up with 100 jokes and use all of them. You're just going to have to watch it as he cooks a delicious-looking meal.
What, and deal with the 100 jokes?
Yep.
Well, they don't all land, but some of them are funny, right?
Yeah.
Fuck you! That's such a lie! I've had you been like, great video, but I laughed out loud.
Some of the jokes are very funny.
Yes, and that's how you get the winners, right? You've got to have a few duds to get the few good ones.
That's what gets you to bed at night, but you keep saying that.
Well, this has been a great plug for my YouTube, which has like no subscribers. Look, I know that this podcast has a pretty decent following. Over the years, we've amassed quite a few thousand people. Yeah, I'm sure they've all
fucked off since we only upload every 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, probably. But if you're listening to this, do me a favor. It means a lot. Go on YouTube. Just subscribe. It's free, and I really appreciate it because I'm just trying to build that up.
It's good, fun content for anybody who likes comic booky or nerdy pop culture stuff.
Or food. And
you just get to watch a chunky guy eat a sandwich at the end of it, which, you know, is great.
It's great. Yeah, I love doing it. It's nice. And as I've been going, I'm like figuring out how to make food look better on camera, you know, and like work, improve my presentation skills, which has been really nice. So yeah, go watch a dude cook some food.
It's very well shot. Nerd.
Thank you. I shoot it myself.
It's very, very well shot. Shows the quality of that new camera.
And also the director and producer and writer and editor and star.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying the cinematography is good.
I thank you. I do it.
I'm trying to fucking compliment you.
I don't know. It's
never enough. Oh, just the cinematography. What about the directing and the producing?
I'm so used to backhanded comments where you're like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, if you have some time, you should check it out. Otherwise, you know, don't bother. That's all I'm waiting for. But anyway, good job, bud. Moving on.
I just compliment you loads and I plugged it.
All right. Well, thank you.
You got your tiny little YouTube channel plugged by a huge guest, your brother, writer and comic book artist for major publishers like DC Comics, Marvel. I've drawn Batman and fucking Spider-Man, but professionally, and I'm plugging you.
And also, you're on a very popular podcast that your brother started, and it's the reason
which is co-hosted by the famous Phil Robson.
Oh,
the only reason
fun.
People listen to it is because of my big britches over here. We all know that,
obviously. Yeah. All right, well, let's actually do the podcast, shall we? Let's get into the news.
No, I thought we're done now, right?
We're done now. Yeah, that was it. Let's get into the news segment before we get on to our episode review today. First bit of news, sad but worth mentioning. It happened a few weeks ago, but obviously, we haven't done an episode since. So David Warner passed away. He was the voice of Herbert Langdon in Spider-Man the Animated Series. He was also the voice of Ra's or Ra's al Ghul in Batman the Animated Series, which is the definitive voice of Ra's al Ghul for me.
Hello, detective.
Yeah. Do you rather say Ra's al Ghul? Because I used to say Ra's because that's how the animated series.
I say Ra's, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, and then obviously Batman Begins said Ra's, and I kind of was like, that sounds better. And I know...
Did they say Ra's al Ghul in the animated series then?
They did, and Danny O'Neill also said it's Ra's, not Ra's.
It's Ra's then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ra's is more fun. Ra's Mataz.
Yeah, but that is the definitive voice of that character for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, is amazing. And he was also in Star Trek, Titanic, Tron, and of course, my favorite role that strangely I always remember him from, besides being Ra's al Ghul, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. And he is the one that makes Tokar and Razor with the ooze.
Oh, cool.
He's the one. Yeah. What a great two films they were. And the rest you can keep.
Last time I saw the third one, I was like a teenager and I was stoned out of my mind. Because I was like, they made a Turtles entire movie. And I remember watching it and falling asleep.
Yeah.
But I was so hyped to see it. I was like,
I know.
Because the cover's like feudal Japan with the Turtles, even though they're ninjas, in samurai outfits. And I was like, oh, I'm in. Like horseback.
Yep. It's really not good. I watched it fairly recently because I watched one and two and I was like, these are great movies. Really love this. I'll give the third one a go because I've really never seen it before. I don't remember it. It's really bad. It's not well written. It's not well paced. It's so cheesy, like way cheesier than the others. It has no darkness to it like the others did. And I was thinking, okay, they're going back to feudal Japan. We're going to have like some origins of like the Foot Clan, surely. Mm. Or maybe we'll have like the Shredder's great grandfather or great, 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 whatever it may be. Did we have any of that? No, it was just like just a bunch of samurais that were just
feudal. Really?
And I was like, what a miss.
Well,
like,
if you want to get that kick, read the IDW Turtles series because all of that like feudal Japan stuff with the origins of the Foot Clan and Shredder, how he's like been alive for so long. Oh, it's chef's kiss. Mwah.
Yeah, I will watch. I will read that at some point for Shell. Next bit of news, Spider-Man news or Spider-Man related. Madam Web movie is rumored to follow the same plot as the movie The Terminator. And what I mean by that, brother, is there will be a villain that travels back in time who wants to try and kill Mary Parker, Peter Parker's mum. And Madam Web and her team of like fellow Websters, I don't know what they are, but there's like more heroes in it, must protect Mary Parker. That is the heavily rumored plot for the Madam Web movie. Dead air! I know it's because you hate this.
Sounds awful, but
It sounds bad. Why are Sony and Warner Brothers...
So what villain is going to be doing it then?
I don't know. It didn't say the villain. I have no idea.
But then, so we're going to have a superheroic character go up against, like, a... What? Young couple?
What do you mean, superheroic character?
Like you're going to have a villain with like superpowers and he's going to go back in time to fight like a civilian. Like that's really boring.
Well, he or she is going to try and kill Mary Parker. And then Madam Web being like the Kyle Reese of this movie, technically, or one of them, because there's supposed to be multiple heroes in this. Cause Madam Web is now a straight up hero because what does Sony love doing? Taking potential villains or people that you don't know if they're good or not and just making them straight up good. It sounds bad. Sounds real bad. And since we're on the subject...
Do not force me to watch on this fucking podcast.
I won't. Don't worry. Don't worry. I really don't want to see them.
Those Venom movies. Well, bloody hell.
We're garbage. And then speaking of more Sony Spider-Man related stuff, have you also heard about this Kraven the Hunter movie with Aaron Taylor-Johnson?
Who's Aaron Taylor Johnson?
He was Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron. He was the you didn't see that coming. He's also Kick-Ass. So he's playing Kraven the Hunter. Kraven the Hunter is a straight up good guy in this movie. He's like he's not a hunter, first of all.
You know what this reminds me of?
So the Beatles, they had an original drummer, Pete Best, who...
Where are you going with this?
Just follow me on this. They had an original drummer, Pete Best, left the band, and then they became super famous. So do you know what Pete Best did? He put out like a Best of the Beatles album by himself. And that's what this is to me. Like, Sony is just like, well, we lost Spider-Man for the most part to Marvel, like, studios. So we're just going to come out with, you know, like the best of his Rogues gallery and see if people will buy it. It's really weird.
It's crazy that they're trying to make all these villains into like anti-heroes or like not even anti-heroes, just straight up heroes, really. They're just trying to make them like Morbius was... I did not see it, but I've heard so many bad things about that movie, and not even like it's so bad it's good. It's just bad. So Aaron Taylor,
I've decided I'm going to watch that movie at one point, maybe this Halloween.
I'll watch it with you if you're going to watch it. I'd like to watch it with you and like get drunk and have a laugh.
Because I hear a lot of people being like, it's kind of just like it's not the worst film in the world. It's just turned into like such a mega meme.
Oh, now we've said that, I'm going to have people being like, please watch it for the podcast. I just know that's going to be it.
No.
That's going to be it.
You're lucky you're getting this episode. So.
Fucking hell, like we're drug dealers over here with the good stuff.
Look, we don't do it as much anymore because it turned into like a job doing this. Anyway, I'm not going to complain.
Well, yeah, but also you're working crazy long hours.
Yes, I am at the point of killing myself over my life currently. So
this is the jolliest you've ever been.
Not even joking. Anyway, moving on.
Jesus Christ. Aaron Taylor Johnson explains how this movie is going to be different from any other MCU movie. So he thinks the star of Kraven himself in this movie, thinks this movie is going to be so different from any MCU movie because he quotes, Kraven being shot entirely on location is going to make all the difference. It's going to add something really beautiful to our personal story, he says. It also sets Kraven apart from the Marvel stage look. It's important for this character to be in the real world.
What?
So he thinks this movie is going to be totally different from the MCU because it's not going to be shot on a soundstage. It's going to be shot on location. Whoa, no one's ever done that before.
I haven't seen one of those before.
Fucking hell, man. What is... And, like, I'm sure he's probably being paid to say this or being asked to say this or make it sound way better, but you just can't polish this turd. It's just none of these Sony movies are going to be good, and I really hate that people pay money to go see them. Because then they keep on getting made.
Yeah, the people love that Venom stuff. I mean, they made a sequel.
And our final bit of news today... this is a good one. I thought we'd finish on this because I really dig this idea. Giancarlo Esposito, you know who that is?
Esposito, my name is Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo Esposito is in Breaking Bad.
In Breaking Bad. Oh.
You know who he is? He's also in fucking Mandalorian. Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly who he is.
Okay, so Giancarlo Esposito wants to be...
Esposito.
You got to stop with that. You got to stop with that, for reals. Fucking hell. It doesn't make you look good. So he wants to be in the MCU. He wants to be in the MCU as Professor X, more specifically.
Did you know that he comes from an Italian, I think it's father, and African-American mother?
Yes, hence the name Esposito.
Esposito.
Oh, it's Spanish, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Giancarlo is Italian? Now I'm guessing here, so I don't know for sure.
Because I remember me and my wife, we looked up like his background once, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting background.
And he grew up... never mind, no one cares about this.
Yeah, okay. So he wants to play Professor X. Giancarlo wants to be in the MCU. He wants to play Professor X. So he said...
Is that what he said he wants to? Because I've been seeing that rumor going around a lot.
So here's a quote from him. Okay. I play that character with force, grace, and a calm. Someone who controls the chaos, but who also has the ability to uplift and inspire.
Yeah, that I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like Professor X to me. That's on the other hand, great.
You could easily be Magneto as well. But I think he would actually make a really good Professor X because if you see the dude in interviews and stuff, he's a warm, lovely man. And yes. I think because a lot of people have said like, oh, I can never not see Gus or like any because he's such a good villain. Mm. And I think people are like, oh, he's such a good villain. I just want to keep seeing him be a villain, which is totally understandable because I also heard rumors that he was going to be Dr. Doom as well, which I thought would be really cool. But if he did play Professor X and was, yeah, like he, like what he literally what he just quoted, like is perfect for the character. So
I agree.
I'm all for that. How old is he?
I have no idea. I think he's in his late 40s, early 50s.
He's got to be.
Maybe in the 60s. I don't know. I think. Well, he looks fucking good. So, what's
his name again?
Giancarlo
Esposito.
I mean, that is just so painful to listen to every time you do it. It's also a fucking Justin Bieber song.
It's a good song, though.
Is it?
Yeah. This is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. When you say, click my man, beep, bop, bop, beep, bop.
I just don't understand how he's singing that song, seeing this white Canadian dude.
He's 64 years old. That's kind of old to start a new X-Men thing.
Well, how old was P-Stew when he started being Professor X?
P-Stew?
Yeah, you like that? Just came up with that one. That was pretty good.
How old was he? All right, well, let's see. The first X-Men movie was what, like 2000?
I think it was 99.
Patrick Stewart is currently 82 years old.
So, like, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I guess he was younger.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was younger. Yeah. So.
Who was younger?
Patrick Stewart by like 2 years.
Yeah, so not that far off. And Patrick Stewart's milked that franchise for all it's worth. Patrick Stewart has died as Professor X 3 different times. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, but every time like he pops up, it is nice though.
Yeah, I love that.
When he rolled in Doctor Strange, I got like hyped.
Yeah, and then he goes neck snapped.
I really like the way he went out in that film. Like, I like the way he closed his eyes where he knew it was like, well, I'm dead.
Yeah. No, it's just so funny. I was thinking about it. I was like, holy shit, has there ever been another comic book character played by the same dude that has died that many times? And I was like, nope. Like, he died in X-Men 3, he died in Logan, and he died in Multiverse of Madness. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all for Giancarlo Esposito. They've also been talking about Magneto and what to do because, you know, a big part of Magneto's background is he's a Holocaust survivor, and mm-hmm. you really can't do that now. But and no, basically, no. In the because he'd be like 90 something, he's way too old.
No.
But now that you know, there's rumors that maybe the metal in his blood can sustain his aging, and like I'm like, oh, I hope they don't do that. I hope they don't.
You know what? I'm cool with that.
What? Just go meta science on it.
That he ages a bit slower to keep that thread in place. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, it is a big part of the character's background, so it would be a shame to lose it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, you know what they're going to do in the future? Like Jesus, America keeping all those children in those prison camps, like along the border. That will be Magneto's origin one day, like 50 or 60 years from now, won't it?
Oh, my God. That'd be messed up, yeah.
Yep. Remember, the world's fucked up, everybody. Anyway, keep listening to the podcast.
I can't believe you wanted to do this today.
I'm on a cynical thread right now.
You were bringing the darkest shit ever.
Yeah, oh. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll clean up my act right now.
Can we? Okay, let's shake it off. Let's talk about a cartoon episode. Yeah, let's talk about
shake it off. Poverty. Oh, shake that off. Oh, cost of living. Oh, God, it's growing. Oh, it's getting so big.
Is that why you wanted to come on the podcast today? Just so you can complain to thousands of people?
You know, it's funny that things that cause stress are also the symptoms. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
God. All right. Well, now your mental and physical health is back in tip-top shape.
It is not. I gained like fucking 10 pounds in a week and I don't know what to do.
Why did I mention weight? You're just going to talk about it now. Why did I do it?
I'm nearly 300 pounds now. I'm practically, I might as well just go for it at this point.
But only 3% body fat, mate.
I'm like, I'm really tempted just to go for it. So I'm like, I might as well hit that milestone and then do something about
it. What do you mean go for it? Like, just
I'm 12 pounds away from being 300 pounds. I might as well just fucking smash back some fucking pizzas. Hit the big 300.
Hey, don't you knock pizza. That's my livelihood, and it's not all fucking bad for you.
I didn't say it's bad for you, but it is fattening, that's for sure.
Not all of them.
I've eaten so well, but I've been so stressed this week, and I think, like, you know how I have constant back pains and everything like that? A lot of it's caused by stress. And
why did I open up this fucking stressed, can of worms?
I gain weight, and I've just gained so much weight, and my back is killing me. Anyway, shake it up.
Shake it the fuck off. All right, let's talk about this episode, shall we? Here we go.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're here to do.
How do you know about stuff like this?
Hey, who do I look like? The Tick? My spider sense is going bonkers.
I'm not sure I understand it all myself, but here's what I know.
Are you ready?
Go for it!
You're here amongst friends.
What's that in your hand?
It's some kind of recording device, I found.
I can't believe this! How could they get it so wrong?
Now there's nowhere Spider-Man can run. At last, he'll get what he deserves.
Thanks, Aunt May. I needed that.
This is something you have trouble remembering?
Hey, I hear that kind of thing 2-3 times a week.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
All right. So this episode called Partners came out on May 3rd, 1997. So I was like, 1997, where were we? We were still living in the UK. We hadn't even moved to America yet.
We were about to.
We moved in August of 97.
Yeah, not far away.
Not far away. Anyway, now I'm fucking going on a tangent. Jesus! This episode was written by Brooks Wachtel, who we've had on the show, and Cynthia Harrison. They have been a co-writing pair on Spider-Man the Animated Series on several episodes, so this was one of them. I haven't done the starring. Let me just... Sorry, I just must quickly pull up this episode.
Do you have the actress who plays Scorpion's love interest on there?
I will, once I look it up, okay. Why, do you think you know her?
Well, she was so bad, it was cracking me up.
She was terrible, yeah.
And I was like, it sounds like Jill Valentine from the first Resident Evil 1 game.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to look up the voice actress for that game, because that's a, you know, infamous, terrible voice acting, you know, the Jill sandwich, all that type of stuff. And I couldn't find, unless someone actually knows the info up there, I spent about 20 minutes, and apparently there's no name for the person that, like, did that voice. But I heard this episode, and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's this her. Lady.
Okay. Yeah. So this episode stars Christopher Daniel Barnes as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, Linda Gary as Aunt May. I don't remember seeing Aunt May in this episode. Do you?
Nope.
Do I have the right episode? No, I don't. All right. Going back to it. This stars Christopher Daniel Barnes as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, Jennifer Hale as Black Cat and Felicia Hardy, Gary Imhoff as Harry Osborn, Ed Asner as J. Jonah Jameson, Rodney Salisbury as Robbie Robertson, both of them credited in this episode but weren't in it. No J. Jonah.
JJ was in it.
Was he?
Yeah, in a flashback.
Oh, so that's where they credited. Okay. Maxwell Caulfield as Alistair Smythe, Cannon Young as Baby Silvermane, who was jokes. Lee Allen Baker as Alyssa Silvermane. Eddie Albert as Old Vulture and Adrian Toomes. Richard Mole as Scorpion and Matt Gargan. Now, just quickly, Richard Mole, this is the first time he's come on to do this show as this voice of the Scorpion, because previously it was voiced by Martin Landau, who left the show because he got an Oscar for Edward. So Martin Landau has now finally left the show at this point. Richard Mole has taken over. Richard Mole is the voice of not only the Bat computer in Batman, the animated series, but also Harvey Dent and Two-Face in
Batman, really?
The animated series. The same voice that does the computer in that show, which I did not know, but I knew he did Harvey Dent and Two-Face. And it's so interesting because you hear his Scorpion voice, and you don't hear any Harvey Dent or Two-Face.
No, I never would have put two and two together.
He's very good. He's a great voice actor. He's also got tons of other roles, but I won't go into all of them. I just thought I'd give that shout out. Alan Johnson is young Vulture, Adrian Toomes. Sandra Bernhard is the voice of Sarah Baker.
Sandra Bernhard?
B-E-R-N-H-A-R-D. She's been in... Nothing that I really... Oh, she was in Hercules, the TV show.
Oh, I recognize this lady.
Do you? Oh, she's been in American Horror Story? Oh, I recognize
her. I recognize her from... What do I know her from?
I recognize her from American Horror Story. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, do you recognize her?
That's it. She's in The King of Comedy.
Right, there you go. But no idea if she's the voice of Jill Valentine or not, but maybe she is.
I wouldn't think so.
To continue on, Joseph Campanella plays Dr. Kurt Connors. Townsend Coleman plays middle-aged Silvermane. Jeff Corey plays old Silvermane. And then there is Martin Landau as Matt Gargan, who's used in a flashback. And Matthew McCurley also plays another voice of Child Silvermane. A lot of Silvermanes in this episode. Lots of voices, different voices for them as well. You ready for some fun facts?
She's in one episode of The Sopranos. Well, I'm watching that right now. I don't remember that.
Okay, you ready for some fun facts, though? We're moving on from...
I just gave a fun fact, Blake.
That she's in The Sopranos? Cool. Okay, fun fact number one.
Apparently, she starred as herself in one episode of Family Guy. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Okay, so fun fact number one. When Smythe studies Scorpion's DNA, Smythe says that Scorpion's DNA is the perfect Rosetta Stone. And I've always been like, I know Rosetta Stone has to do with language, but where does that come from? So I looked it up. The Rosetta Stone is an ancient stone tablet with the same passage written in Egyptian hieroglyphic, Demotic Egyptian, and Classical Greek. It made it possible for us to translate the entire Egyptian language, and nothing like it has ever been found to translate any other ancient language. Did not know that until... So the Rosetta Stone is basically... the way for us, how we learned Egyptian language.
I just thought it was a company that would make language programs for kids in high school, because that's how I used it.
Me too.
I remember going to a computer hall where the computers were just for Rosetta Stone use, and it'd be like, yo soy Guillermo. And I'd be like, I am William. And all that
type of stuff. But also, it was on a tablet, and I was like, oh, tablet time. So like, there's some cool parallels in this episode and to that. So I appreciate that. Fact number two, after Spider-Man gets captured by Black Cat, she tells him, so here's another fine mess we've gotten in ourselves, Ollie. And I was like, why did she call him Ollie? And I looked it up, and this is a reference to Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy, who formed the comedy duo, Laurel and Hardy.
I could tell it was a reference, but just like didn't know what it was.
Yeah, really, really old, dated one. But we know that this show has quite a few of those. And then finally... this is the first episode. Oh, I just said this already. So it's Richard Mole because Martin Landau left. All right. So what do you think of this episode, bud?
I thought it was a bit long in the tooth.
Ho-ho! Is that an old joke? Because of age is the big thing?
That was good.
I like that.
There was a lot of remember this and this guy and also this. And this is why this is happening.
And this. Although I appreciate that because we haven't watched the show in a little while. So I was like, I need the refresher.
It was fun to see multiple characters at once, I don't know. I thought it was kind of chuck away, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't one of my favorites, for sure. And because we haven't watched in a while, I was happy to come back and watch it. But I was like, this would definitely not be one that I stick on regularly.
But I do really remember Baby Silvermane, though. Like, that stuck in my head.
And he's great.
I weirdly love the way he talks. I'm like, is it a child speaking or is it like a regular person and their voice has been child made?
Well, I don't know. I just had, there was two voices for Child Silvermane that I just read off. It sounds quite childlike, but also...
But it has like an old vernacular behind it.
I know. Well, I think that's the point because he's an old man, obviously.
I know, but like... But for a child to be able to like
dictate conceive like that.
The idea of like, all right, this is how this old man would speak is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because the punctuation, especially the way
he speaks is very like, you know, sit down, grandpa.
Yeah. And when he's like, no, but curses, this buddy of mine needs the bottle. And then he like takes a big old chug of that. Yeah, so maybe.
Hands down, there was a joke in this episode.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. It's the funniest joke of the entire series. Of the whole show. Go ahead. Go ahead. I laughed so hard.
Silvermane has been turned back into, the whole point of the episode is he's a baby that's trying to be turned into a young adult. And it goes wrong, so he gets turned into an old man. And his daughter says to him, well, at least you won't need diapers anymore. And the way he looks at her, And I can't remember exactly what he says, but he says some of the lines of like, I wouldn't be so sure of that. Like he's about to shit himself. Oh my God.
It's the way, I wouldn't be so sure. And he looks at her like, I've just pooped literally as I've just
shit myself. But also, I was also thinking about when he's a baby, like he's wearing nappies, right? But like if he's aware of everything and speaking like an adult and holding a bottle and talking, surely he can wipe his own ass, right?
Yeah, I guess, but there's limits of the body, not of his mind. I think it's his body that's limited, right? Because he's like, gosh, this body of mine, it needs this milk, but he's speaking like he's a fully functioning adult. Classic goons at the beginning of this for the balaclavas. I always like to see those classic Spidey goons, this show.
Their laser rifles.
Yeah, I think they got a good look. Also, one of the goons was so sexist where he's like, to Black Cat, this ain't no sewing circle. I was like, oh, shit. But I do like her response.
I was watching it. My wife in the kitchen went, oh, my God.
But I do like the response from Black Cat where she's just like, well, you're going to be needing some stitches. I was like, that's a great line.
That's why the line was set up.
Yeah,
there's also absolutely. A part where Spider-Man is like woke as shit.
Yeah.
Pick that up.
Yeah, I but did. But then he ruins it at the end.
He completely counteracts it by being chauvinist.
But that was my favorite line of Black Cat's with that. Because so with the door, he's like, Spider-Man's like, everybody back up. This is going to take some strength. And Black Cat goes in, rips the door down. And she's like, you're right. It did. I was like, oh, what a great line.
No, doesn't he say it's going to take some man strength?
No, he just says strength or muscle. Mm. He says muscle.
Oh, was it muscle? Maybe I'm thinking
it's going to take muscle. Yeah, that's
going to take muscle.
Yeah.
You're right. When he says some sort of sexist line to Black Cat, and he's like, I better help out this little lady. She can't fight all these people by herself. And then she kicks everyone's ass. And he's like, he like takes a really woke, especially for the 90s, woke moment just to be like, wow, I should really check like my male chauvinist expectations before I say anything. Or like something along those lines. And it was like, I was just like, oh, like that's weird. This sounds like something that'd be written today.
Spidey's growing.
Spidey's learning.
When Smythe shows up, which also I was like, oh, Smythe's in this episode? Like just randomly shows up.
Yeah, I'd say one too many people in this.
Yeah, there were a lot of characters in this. When Smythe shows up and he gasses Black Cat, she says like, gas. And then she passes out. And it sounds like she was about to finish that sentence with like, my only weakness. Because it was like the way she's like, gas, my only weakness.
Fucking stinks.
I can't get over Smythe's calamari shoulder cannons, by the way.
I can't get over his beefy chest.
He's jacked. I think he might be the most jacked up character besides Rhino in the show.
Yeah.
He's a beast. But those floppy meat curtains that he's got on his shoulders, like it looks like, I don't know, skin tags that someone removed and just like stapled onto someone's shoulders. They're gross. They look wet. You know what I mean? They look wet. Yeah.
It's like, you're a cyborg. Why are you so wet? It's the summer.
As we said before.
Why do you think I don't have a shirt on? It's fucking boiling.
Do you think he tans his meat curtains? Yes, outside. Well,
the only tan he goes is like a puke yellow green.
Oh, it's gross. He's such a gross color. And those visor eyes that he has make no sense.
He's disgusting.
He's a freak of nature. He's been turned into a sex bot. It's terrible. I do love, we were saying before, how Alicia has to like mummy her own father and like carry him around, bottle feed him, change his diapers and shit. Like, what a... Imagine that having
always,
to do that.
It's always stuck with me ever since I saw it as a kid. Like, I specifically remember that being like, oh, that's like weird.
That's interesting. Watching the flashback of how Silvermane became.
And now it's my sexual king. That's the only way I can get hard and calm, bud.
You're gonna skip
that, now.
I was gonna say, where's the scatting? Watch the flashback how Silvermane became a baby. Remind me how graphic body transformations are in this show. Like,
I don't know what it is. Turning into the child, like in the flashback, I was like, that's fucked up.
He was screaming intensely, and you hear all these bone crunching noises as he shrinks, and I'm like, this show, like, it's like American Werewolf in London. Like, that transformation is painful. And that's what it's, that's what I feel like every time I watch this show and someone transforms into something else. No.
That stuck with you. And that, now that's the only way you get hard.
It's the only way I get hard and cum, bud. That was just, that was, it was the follow up with cum that really just destroyed that whole thing.
It's the only way I get hard and cum, bud.
It was said so nonchalant, but it's so graphic. Oh, shit. Okay, so the face Smythe makes, if we're talking about funny cum faces and stuff, Smythe makes his face when Silvermane says, change my diaper, to his daughter. It's meme-worthy. Did you see face he makes?
Change my diaper. And then it cuts to a super close-up of Smythe.
Still shot of him, like, as well. Yeah.
Looking, like, disgusted.
But he's smiling as well. I took a screenshot of it because I'm just going to send it to you randomly.
It was a strange cut.
I'm just going to send it to you randomly some days because look at that thing. I know it's like hard to see because there we go. You see that?
Yeah. Why is he smiling?
It's weird. He's doing the rock people's eyebrow. That's what he's doing. He's doing the people's eyebrow.
He also doesn't have the yellow eyes there.
No, because they're visors. They come down. Right. It's weird. Okay, so my favorite bit.
Why would he smile that he needs his diaper changed?
Because I. Because
it's the only way I.
Oh, shit. Oh, there was a snort from that one. Oh, my God.
Because it's the only way I get hard and come, sir.
Oh, God. I want to see. So, this is my favorite bit of the whole episode.
Kingpin of the giant nappy finished.
he's a giant baby, so that would work. Maybe that's why you're smiling.
No, there's a good Kingpin and Spice scenario.
Oh, God. I want to see a whole sitcom of Scorpion and Vulture living together. I thought that had so much
potential. I thought it was awful.
I think it'd be great. It would be like Everybody Loves Raymond, but Vulture is tied up like some BDSM gimp spitting out sass in the corner, and Scorpion's
Why are his lips so prominent? When he's younger, have you noticed that?
Oh, he's got some like Botox lips. Yeah,
yeah.
They're like slugs.
They're fully outlined, like completely.
I guess that's to show youth. I think, like, for some strange reason,
no one else, like Peter Parker's young. He doesn't have his lips completely drawn out like that.
No, I guess not. But I thought that whole scenario was hilarious. Just him like spitting out sass, being chained up. Like, when does Vulture use the toilet? Is he always there? Does Scorpion feed him like standing up? Does he just shove food in his mouth?
He's a diaper.
Silvermane's
we talk about
Silvermane's going to lend him some diapers?
Can we talk about this? The random love interest for Scorpion.
So that leads me on to like with Sarah, his love interest. How the fuck did that happen? How messed up do you have to be as a person to be like, you know what? I really want to get involved with a supervillain, a pretty lame one at that, and like live without any of the riches of things he's stealing because he's trying to go straight. Like,
well, she's trying to help him go straight. Like, I think she's.
But where did she even meet him?
I don't know. Maybe in the building or something. But it's that classic, I could fix him mentality.
Yeah.
It's weird though because there's a scene. When like they hug about something, they're like, "Oh, you're not like he's like, don't worry, I'm gonna do good," and she like hugs him, and they lean in to kiss, but there's no kiss noise, nor
she
perch her lips, so they literally just go like this.
Their faces just hover together, don't they? It's weird, and it's a really long shot. You're like, okay, this has been like 4 seconds. What's going on?
Yeah. That was weird. And she just kept, my wife's like, God, she's a wet blanket. Like, because she wasn't watching. She was just in the kitchen, like, making breakfast. And it's just like, this lady's always just been like, Scorpion, no, don't go do that. That's bad too.
I also thought it was really funny how she said, like, I've saved $500. And Vulture goes, wow, 500 whole dollars. By the time you have enough, my younger self would look like I do now. And I was like, oh, that's some sass in the corner over there. Yeah, I love that. I could see like an Everybody Loves Raymond, but like Everybody Loves Scorpion, where he's like Ray Romano trying to like have a peaceful life, but his gimp of a fucking ex convict, like, mate or whatever, or maybe like his father-in-law, I don't know, but like chained up like that was really funny. I thought that was a good little scenario. Maybe we'll switch Kingpin inspired to Scorpion and old Vulture chained up. Have Rhino guest star. Like, then it'd be like Seinfeld, where like Rhino could be Kramer, like coming in through the door.
Oh, I forgot the knock. I'm so sorry. You knocked down half the wall.
I'll put it back together.
It's going to take me a while, but I'll go by the brick in the morning and I'll put them round one by one. And I'll make sure the cement...
Okay, maybe this show isn't a good idea.
I'll get one of those things to make a leveler to make sure it's level. Because you don't want uneven brickwork because that will look bad.
Oh, shit. I also... I thought with Vulture switching back and forth between his old self and his younger self, it reminded me of like those old Viagra commercials. Do you ever see those like back in the day where it was like an old man and he would take like Viagra and then they would depict him being a young man? And that was a way of like,
no, that sounds fucked up.
Isn't that fucked up? And it was kind of like making old men feel young and energetic again, basically like you'll get hard still. We've had a lot of hard penis jokes in this episode.
It's the only way I could get hard. Come on.
That's why he's just chained up in the corner, just constantly getting erections. Oh, and every time he goes old, it goes down again. He's like, oh, and then he's young again. He's like, hey.
Oh, I didn't realize that it's the only way I can get hard and come, but it's going to become a quotable line reused on this show.
Oh, it's brilliant. Also, to finish off the Sarah thing with Scorpion, she wants to save him, as you said, and he wants to cure himself. He wants to stop being a freak. And I'm like, he can't get out of that suit. So they ain't having sex. So that's not happening.
That's what I said to my wife, right? And yeah, she's like, well, how does he piss and shit? I was like, all right, there must be some sort of just an access to his...
Well, maybe like a tube that goes out the back. maybe he does it through his tail.
Well, maybe she's like, our relationship means more than sex.
Yeah, I guess, but does she know?
How the fuck was she on the rooftop wig looking down at them inside? Did she climb all the way up the roof and look down at them? That must have taken like 40 minutes. She must have been exhausted.
I know.
And then instead of coming through that way, she comes through the front door, like towards the end of a battle, and like grabs Spider Man's arm, like, ah,
I'm here too.
I'm also in the room.
Yeah. But what I don't get is with Sarah, right? She wants Scorpion to be cured, but does she know what Matt Gargan looked like before
the same exact thing. The dude does not look as good as he does now.
No, but he's not 6'3" and he's not fucking like made of pure muscle. Like, very different. I think she's like,
Sarah, my love, it's me. She's like, oh god. I thought you were a big jacked guy.
I do like Scorpion though. Like, what do you think of that bank robbery scene where he meets Spider-Man on the streets? I thought that was a cool.
Yeah, fight. I love Scorpion as well.
Yeah, I think he's an underused villain in general now.
I 100% agree.
I really want to see him done right. Like, I really loved that bright green costume in the show and like seeing him do a robbery and all of that. That was awesome.
Well, he just looks like a proper luchador. And I love that Spider-Man has always had this luchador feel throughout the whole series. I mean, with Spider-Man himself.
Yeah, he started that way as well, didn't he, in wrestling? It all kicks off at the end with Smythe fighting Vulture, Smythe fighting Scorpion, Vulture and Silvermane switching their youth and strength, and Silvermane saying, too old! Cracked me up so much when he was like being aged up.
60 years when you wake up one day. Too old!
Oh, shit. And as we said, the best line of the episode is the you won't need diapers anymore, father. And he's like, I wouldn't be so sure. It's just amazing. Oh God.
It's the only way to get hot and come, but shit my bitches.
It's terrible. Why do people listen to this show? Oh, fucking hell. All right, to finish this episode review, Spider-Man and Black Cat share a kiss on the rooftop. And immediately I'm like, MJ who? Because he's clearly like really interested. And then they swing away, and that is the end of the episode. Mm.
Everyone's perving over Black Cat this episode. It's really gross.
Yeah,
even Smythe is like this beautiful specimen creature.
I know.
Yeah. I'm like, ew, bud. Look, like, take a look in the mirror. She's not into you.
Are you into meat curtains that are wet? Don't say it. You can't even say it anymore. I love it.
It's the only way I can get hard and come, bud.
It's the bud at the end that gets me every time. Because it's like someone explaining, like, so matter of fact. Oh, God. Oh, I'm crying. That's amazing. All right. You ready for a friendly neighborhood quiz game?
Yeah, go on, then.
All right. Well, let me hear a jingle for friendly neighborhood quiz game.
It's that friendly neighborhood quiz.
Game. Okay, what? I like it. Game. Just throw game. A game.
It's also a game.
Then there's a sound bite thrown in. It's the only way I can get out of gumbo. Okay. Question one. When Smythe tells Spider-Man to find Scorpion and Vulture, Spider-Man responds with, "How am I going to find those two blanks in a blank this big? What are those two blanks?" So again, Spider-Man responds with, "How am I going to find those two blanks in a blank this big?"
No idea.
Well, what's a nickname for New York City?
Apple.
Yeah. As in the Big Apple, yeah. So you got one word.
Oh, worms.
Worms. Well done. Yep. How am I going to find those two worms in an apple this big? Question two. Who does Black Cat say she should take superhero lessons from instead?
The Hulk.
She does. I thought that was so random because I was like, why?
Yeah, I was like, that's not the guy to choose. Captain America, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, where did brute strength need to happen there? And like, I don't get it.
Yeah, but she'll say, like, the Incredible Hulk, which you can watch on Saturday mornings.
And then Smythe's face, like, smiling weirdly with his eyebrow up. And then question three, the final question of the game. During the experiment to take Spider-Man's powers, he says, "Great, now I'm going to have to learn how to web sling in a blank." So again, I didn't say that right. During the experiment where...
I know what spot you're talking about.
Yeah, Silvermane's trying to take Spider-Man's powers.
Is it crib?
Or so close.
Not crib. Bonnet?
Crib on wheels.
What are that? Oh, why is my brain blanking? Why? I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a common thing that everyone knows.
I'm going out for a
stroller.
Yeah. Well done. And that's the friendly neighborhood quiz game. And also, there is no sense of thwip this week because I didn't see anything that broke censorship in this episode. And also, I would like to say that after our extensive chat with John Semper, it has been exaggerated over the years, the amount of censorships that they did have to face. And besides Batman, the animated series, it was kind of common practice for that censorship to be in most cartoons, if not all anyway. So I might not be making this such a big deal out of the censorships anymore, knowing that now.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to our last segment then. What you doing with your life?
Well, I've discovered a new band. And that's been a while that I haven't done that. It's because it's specifically a new jam band, which don't come around too often. And the band is called Goose. Honk, honk. Just called Goose.
It's not
called
Goose, Hong Kong.
I was just saying Hong Kong. That's which is the sound of a goose. And yeah, they're all young dudes, and I just
they're all young men.
Yeah, but usually, like, you see a jam band, it's a bunch of, you know, older people. But it's nice to be sort of on the ground level of what I think is going to be a really, really big band in the scene.
Yeah,
and I discovered them because Trey Anastasio, who's the singer and guitarist for the band Fish, which is a very prolific jam band, has come out and played a show with them at Radio City Music Hall, and it's brought a lot of attention to the band. And it's, people have called it like the passing of the torch. It's like the same thing that people said with the Grateful Dead towards Fish, and now Fish towards Goose. Like, this is the next stage of that style of music, which is just, you know, jam and improvisational stuff. And I'm really excited, and I've been listening to them constantly, all their live stuff. I fucking love it. It's so good. It's so funky, and just like this, these huge, incredible jams. It's like going to church for me. Like, it's so relaxing. Like, I've been so stressed like the past couple of weeks just with random shit going on in my life, that like every night for like half an hour, I'll just watch a live concert of theirs and just be blown away by the level of quality of music that they're producing. So check out Goose.
Yeah, Goose it up.
And if you want to check out a song, Antilla is my favorite one.
Okay, good to know. Some of the things that I've just watched recently, the final episode of Better Call Saul came out recently.
Yeah, I watched that yesterday as well.
What did you think? I watched it.
Didn't like it.
You didn't like
it? I thought the whole series has floundered out towards the end.
I thought
loads of payoffs were really poorly done. You know what I was really upset about that show with is that, you know, for so long we were building towards him becoming Saul. And then it just cut to him being Saul. And it was such like a robbery of the transition. And it's fucking bullshit, really. I really don't like it. And I don't like the way certain characters like died or progressed. I just like, if you look back to like, for instance, in the, I don't know if it was the last episode, or the episode before that, they had a flashback to the episode when they're going through the desert, right? That's one of the best episodes of television, period. When they're crawling through the desert.
Yeah, him and Mike.
With $7 million in cash. It's great. It reminds me of Paulie and Christopher surviving in the wilderness in The Sopranos.
Yeah.
There's just something magical about those moments. So I was just thinking back on the series in total and how amazing it was. And I just think that this new season was like, I guess we got to end this now. And I don't think it was done very well, in my opinion.
Oh, it's a shame. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I really loved how they culminated all of the main characters in Saul's life in the final episode, the people that really impacted his life and kind of left their two cents. I really loved the symbolism behind the time machine in the entire episode and how they went about doing that. And basically he did his own figurative time machine in the episode by thinking back on all the moments that kind of like changed him or the people that changed him, and then made the right decision at the end and did something right instead of being a con man.
I don't think he did make the right decision in the end.
Why? He would be a con man if he didn't.
He was going to get 3.5 years of jail time.
Seven years.
The stuff that he did, and he changed it just so he could change Kim Wexler's opinion on him. I mean, and then he's like, because I can see that they're like, oh, that's because he's not Saul anymore; he's Jimmy. But they called him Slip and fucking Jimmy for a reason, because he was always Saul. Saul was just a major manifestation of those inner desires to begin with. But Slip and Jimmy were taken 3.5 years, and I would have much rather that show ended with the dude only served 3.5 years, because that's so him, right? Like, he became the lawyer that he always wanted to be so well that he got himself out of prison for being, you know, one of the biggest money launderers for the cartel. Like, that to me is a cool ending. Like, all the symbolism of him being found in the garbage and all the stuff, like, it just wasn't for me.
No,
I don't like what they did with that character.
I was the opposite, so I like where it went with that one. What else? We watched The Offer, which was really good. You introduced me to that.
Yes, brilliant show.
Making of the Godfather. That was fucking awesome. Really entertaining.
And I wish the show could continue with more studios, like, and how the movies they passed on, or the trials and tribulations of making certain films. Like, it'd be great.
It would be great. And Jaws should definitely be the next one that they do. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that. We also watched the ILM documentary, which was incredible and really inspiring.
It was very good. Yeah,
that was really good. You haven't seen The Sandman on Netflix yet, have you?
I have not, but I've heard only good things.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that show a lot. Really liked the stuff that I remember from the books, but I don't remember everything. So kind of went in not remembering much. So I was really entertained because it's so faithful. It's the first time that like the creator of a book has been like really behind and have complete control of how they do it. He waited on the Sandman.
I'll still put out the argument that Sin City is like the greatest adaptation of all time. Like that's
But you don't have Frank Miller being the director producer. He
was on the set and as a director and a producer.
Yeah, but okay. Neil Gaiman has held on to this until he's like, we're going to do this exactly the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
And Frank Miller didn't have that control over Sin City. So I really dug The Sandman. We watched Black Phone, which was really surprisingly good. That was such a surprise at how good that movie was. And what else?
Well, it wasn't that good, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was solid. I thought it was a really cool thriller.
I do want to see it again. I liked that film. We saw Prey, which neither of us liked.
What do you mean? I liked Prey a lot.
Oh, right. Yeah, never mind. You like Prey. I don't like Prey.
Yeah. We determined, listeners, I said to this after Prey, my brother and I have been enjoying things differently more and more and being quite divided. So if I like something, usually he ends up not liking it or vice versa. What was it? Oh, yeah, Thor 4. I didn't like it and you did.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, you enjoyed it and I thought it wasn't good. I was really let down by that movie. So I've come up with a comparison that we are Woody and Buzz because Woody is like the old nostalgia and a classic, right? Like he's that classic toy that like Andy keeps around where Buzz is exciting and
you're really putting me down.
Well, Buzz is like, no, hey, because you...
My brother, he's just the old toy that gets kept around. I'm the exciting fun.
Yeah, well, you know who Andy chose in the end and wanted to be around with all the time was fucking Woody, wasn't it? He was the one who didn't want to let go.
What happens in Toy Story?
He let all the other toys go, and then he looked at Woody and was going to take him to college, and then that little girl saw it, and he finally decided to leave Woody.
But he still left it.
Yeah, okay, but he wasn't gonna, all right? And he was going to take Woody with him. So I don't know why I'm defending it. Like, fuck it. It's a fucking analogy. So now we've gotten to the context of being like, I really enjoyed it, Buzz. Buzz? Wow. I really enjoyed
Buzz. Hey, Buzz, how's it going there, Buzz?
And you didn't, so it's a Woody and Buzz. And then, The Boys, new season. We both really, enjoyed that, yeah. We weren't
I you would think like, oh God, a show that's like changing to be really commentating on current events politically wise.
Whilst like, also being a superhero show.
Yeah, like if I heard like they were adapting a book I really liked and then chucking in loads of modern comments on politics, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about that, but it's so fucking well done. It's so really good.
Well done.
And it's like season one, like I liked that show. Season two, I was like, okay, this is a fun show. I want to keep watching it. But season three was fucking awesome. Like it was so good.
It was very good.
And I really loved the fake Captain America guy. He was such a good character, and there was just so many the way all these threads of these different characters, what they did with them, like everyone really got to grow this season.
And Homelander is probably one of the best villains I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah, I just every time he's on screen, I'm paying attention because he commands it.
Yeah,
it's very good. People want him to be Albert Wesker in Resident Evil, and I think that's a good call.
That's a good call. Yeah, I could see that. People also want him to be Doctor Doom in the MCU. Not sure I can see that.
No,
he's got I don't want to cover up that face. You know what I mean?
I want Esposito or Mads Mikkelsen or something like that.
You also said Cillian Murphy.
I'd love Cillian Murphy. Is that?
Yeah, you said that as well.
Those baby blues. Coming through.
I don't know who I want. I think it's Anthony Starr. That's the name of the actor.
That is his name, yeah.
I don't know who I want him to play, but he was...
Some people have said Wolverine for him. I've seen them put like the chops on him and stuff. I'm like, I'm tired of having like a skinny, tall guy be Wolverine. Give me a stout. Give me Danny DeVito with muscles.
He was so close to... He was he was one of the cast choices for Wolverine for the longest time. I would love to have seen that, bud. Like,
could you imagine them like in the costume with like the claws being like, let me at him, show me where they are.
Hey, bub. With like a cigar and he's just like choking on it.
I love Gene. It's the only way I can get hard and calm.
I'm gonna pop my claws if you know what I'm saying. Just hearing him go like,
That's just, I love that.
That's his Wolverine cry. Snick, snick.
We need that. We need a little ball of muscle that's furious.
Yeah, we do. Well, I'm not available. Oh, God.
I'm fucking trying out for the fucking blob at the moment.
Yeah, we could be on that, like, reject X-Men team or whatever. It's just like, yeah, that's the C team, the backup team. If all goes wrong and we've got no other options, call in those two, plug in the blob and middle-aged bald guy.
Me and my wife have been rewatching The Sopranos, which is just an amazing show. But, you know, it has affected us mentally. Like, we've been a bit more aggressive, like, and like a bit shorter.
You know, that's so funny you say that. When I was watching it and my girlfriend wasn't interested, she picked up on my attitude changing as well. And she's like, is this because you're watching The Sopranos? And I was like, what do you mean? And she pointed out things that I was doing where I was way more like, not short-tempered, but just like,
all right, you know,
more brief, like very like blunt. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, is this your Jersey side coming out? Because I don't like it. And I was like, oh shit, I've been called on it. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, if you, because we've been binging it. I noticed that. And also,
you call Chloe your guma.
That's the reason I've definitely put weight on, because all of the food, we've just been like making chicken parmesan and like, you know, ziti and all the stuff that
that's
just
amazing.
Piled on the weight. I love that they call red sauce gravy in the show, and that's what we started calling it. I was going, ma, the gravy is, oh, it's gogots tonight.
Gogots.
But the reason I brought the Sopranos up is there's the episode with Johnny Sack's wife who's overweight, and me and my wife are both overweight ourselves. And there's a scene where she like gets on the scale and it says that she's 250 pounds. And we both looked at each other. We both said at the same time, bullshit. I was like, there's no way that bitch is 250 pounds. Like, I'm sorry.
She's got one leg off the scale, if that's the case.
Yeah. I was like, I think that's like what a writer, like someone has no fucking clue how people actually weigh. It's like, she's fat, bro. She's 250 pounds. I fucking wish I was 250 right now.
Oh, shit. It's a great show. I've been thinking about going back and watching it, but I also don't want to have my girlfriend be like, why are you talking like that?
It's a very depressing show as well.
Like, it's really funny, but also depressing.
It's not really... season one is funny, but the rest, like, off that, it's just all about, like, you know, keeping power, murder, and grief, and dealing with loss, and like all this stuff. Where
there's a lot of funny moments, though. Like each character, especially people like Paulie and stuff.
Paulie's great.
They have great comedy moments. I dig the show. It's a great. We were talking about how it basically changed TV the other day.
Quintessentially, absolutely did.
And it made actors think that TV wasn't a bad place where your career went to die.
Yeah, as I said to you before, The Sopranos, like, what was a drama? Fucking Law and Order? Like, it's completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you watching anything else before we wrap up? Anything else you want to talk about?
I've been watching a playthrough of this video game that is really spooky and I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get the name of the game up. I've been watching the very obviously popular Markiplier player on YouTube. And I'm going to keep speaking because I'm trying to find the video.
Oh, well, you know what I can talk about whilst you're looking?
All right, go ahead.
So I forgot one thing I wanted to talk about. I just watched it today. There's a new movie on Amazon Prime called 13 Lives. It's got Viggo Mortensen, Colin Farrell in it. And it's about, remember in 2018 in Thailand, those 13 boys got trapped in a cave.
Yeah.
For like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rescue team came and like, I had no idea what the extent of that whole experience was like and like how fucking brutal that cave is and like the deep sea cave divers that like they needed to bring in. It's excellent, bud. It's a really good fucking movie. I just watched it. Like it's gripping. It's so intense. And also, they do such a good job at like making you feel like very claustrophobic because these confined spaces that the scuba divers have to go through. And
I'm starting to find I'm becoming a bit claustrophobic with stuff recently.
Oh, yeah.
And I never had that before. I will finish my sentence before, but there's these videos on YouTube of these like young dudes that go down into these rock caves that no one's ever explored. And like, I'm talking like as really tight spaces where you could just make one wrong move and you're stuck like 3 hours down in the earth. And like, oh, it's absolutely awful.
If that's what this movie was. So it's directed by Ron Howard as well. And I like a Ron Howard movie. He makes a great film. Viggo, it's great to see Viggo back. I haven't seen him in a while. He's really good in it. Colin Farrell's really good in it. There's other actors.
I like Colin. If Colin Farrell's in something, I usually check it out.
Yeah, it's a serious film. No,
Colin Farrell, or am I thinking of Colin Firth?
I don't know. Colin Farrell is. You're probably thinking Colin Firth. Colin Farrell is the Penguin.
Oh yeah, no, that's the opposite of what I do.
It's honestly, it's very good, and it's based on the true story, and it's fucking crazy what like these kids went through and how they survived and like how the whole world watched with these kids and waited. Cause I remember it being like, oh shit, those kids are still in the fucking cave. And we're like, what?
I'm watching it with like mums, I think. Right. Like our mum. Like, well, how long ago was it?
This 2018. She had passed.
Oh, okay.
So I remember it because I had just split with my partner and I was watching it at our dad's house and like getting news then because it was during the World Cup.
Maybe that's what I remember.
And they were a football team. Like they were a football team in Thailand, not a professional one. They were kids. But like, oh, it's a good movie, dude. You should check it out.
I'll check it out at some point.
Yeah, it's a serious watch, but it's a good watch with a happy ending. So there you go.
Well, the game I've been following is called The Mortuary's Assistant. And it's a game where you are a mortuary's assistant, and it starts out where it's all, you know, point of view, you're in the character's head, and you have to do like, you know, that game that you played, the hospital thing where it's like point of view and you're like pulling teeth out like, and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So it's like that, but with dead bodies, like in a morgue, like you've got to sew up their mouths and stuff like
what
that.
What the fuck?
And you got to drain.
People play some weird shit, man.
But that's not just the game, Wick. Like that would be weird by itself. But you find out that demons are possessing these bodies, and so like you might be sewing up someone's face, and they might just like open their eyes and like blink at you for a couple seconds or something like that.
Jesus.
Or the lights will go off, and there'll just be someone sitting in the window looking at you, being like, it's your grandmother, let me in. Like, oh, it's really fucking frightening. And the point of the game is you have like five bodies, right? And you got to take them out. You got to do all the paperwork, file everything, drain their fluids, all this stuff. Some of them come back to life and like there's loads of possession stuff and really, really creepy stuff. And then your job at the end is to decide which one of these bodies is possessed by the demon so that you put it into the, what's it called? The morgue?
Oh, no, the oh god. Oh fuck.
Crematorium.
Crematorium, yeah.
And if you choose the right thing, then like you've burnt the demon. And the point is like, but you have to start the thing again the next night, otherwise the demon's gonna kill you. So it's a really cool premise, and so much creepy shit is in it. I was telling you, that's why I was saying the other day, like you get so scared that you start like scabbing. Like just to get through it. And it was so funny watching this guy play this game because he was like, scap up, David, like walking and there's like scary shit going on. And then there's like a face at like the window and he looked at it and he went, and he just shut the window. He was like, no visitors. Like, I love the coping mechanism people do to like deal with fear.
Yeah. That's amazing.
The game's fucked, bud. Like, oh, you work on somebody and then you turn around and the body's just gone. Like, oh, it's awful.
It's the only way I can get hard and come, bud. Oh, shit.
Don't watch it in the middle of the night. You poop your pants.
Oh, man. All right. Is there anything you want to add or plug before we jet off? Any books?
My Batman book's out in September, so pick it up. Batman Urban Legends 19.
Right. And we probably won't have a new episode out by then.
Yeah, so hope you guys liked it.
All right, well, that's all we've got for this time. Join us next time where we'll be talking all things Spider-Man, the animated series podcast. I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability.
Bye.
I thought you were going to say the funny line. That
what's the funny line?
Oh my god, it's already gone from your brain. I literally just said it like 2 minutes ago. I thought you were going to finish. I was like, his comedic timing, he's a writer, I'll give him the microphone. He'd be like, that's the only way I get hard and come, bud, see ya.
But you didn't. Just did the joke,
I guess. Yeah, I guess I kind of ruined that moment, didn't I, by doing it.
Well, I'm not hard no more.
Goodbye. You always do that face when you scat. It's like a weird, it's like a weird mid-orgasm face. You're like, eyes roll up in the back of your head. You got this like weird goofy smile on your face, and you're like,
I guess that's how I get in the zone of scatting.
Yeah, like mid cum face.
Well, you wouldn't know it, thankfully, being my brother. So.
That would be too far. Too far, man.
Too far.
Oh, shit. Stop it. It's kind of gross. It's like I haven't seen the face, but I feel like I have, because that's it. Like
that's what I say when I'm finishing. I'm like,
your feet are like flailing as you're doing it. You're like, oh god, your poor wife's like, what the fuck?
Can you imagine like you finally sleep with somebody and when they finish, they're just like, you'd be like, what the fuck?
That's why it's called skeeting, because you're like, skeet, yeah.
Scat, scat.
Oh, God.
I just came and I'm feeling really good about it.
Gonna go to the fridge and get a snack. Diddle, I do.
Gonna wash my hands first.
Gotta get off that stank-a-lank.
Oh no, we're running low on soap.
I gotta go to the shop, skibby dibby da bow.
With my stinky hands, and then I'm gonna have that snack that I was promised.
Meanwhile, the wife's just like, I'm leaving you.
Make me severe, sign the divorce papers, yep.
Diggity-dat-dat, divorce.
Diggity-dat-dat, divorce. Diggity-dat-dat, a-dow-dow, divorce.
That's what she says to you. You're like, you're finally scatting. And then she just slams the papers down. She's like, diggity-dat-dat, divorce.
Goodbye.
Oh, we can laugh about these things. That's fun.
Yeah. Well, you've been divorced. Not yet. Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. You do. You're like, we're finally that divorced. Oh, yeah.
I will have a party that day.
Sounds good. Am I invited?
Yeah, you're the best man of the divorce party.